you would turn with me to the book of Hebrews this morning. Have you ever noticed that we tend to like to change locations a lot? For example, if we've been cooped up in our house for a while, we got to get out of the house, right? Have you ever had that feeling? I got to get out of the house. You know, I've just been here too long. I got to go somewhere else. And then what happens is we get out of the house and we go somewhere else only for a little while to get the next feeling we're going to have, and that is, I got to get back. I got to get back to my home. I just got to get back there, you know, because like I'm just tired and I want to be back in my home. We like to change things up, or some of us like to do different ways that we decorate our house during the seasons. Some of you are getting out or have gotten out your fall decorations without your house, and then you will leave those out for a little while, and then some of us look forward to Christmas is coming, and you put up all the Christmas decorations, and you're so excited to put those up, only to a few weeks later, you can't wait to take them all down. I'm just tired of these Christmas decorations. Got to get rid of these things. And you take them all down, you put up some winter decorations, then you take those down, you put up spring decorations, take those down, put summer decorations. Or you eventually look into your closet, you think, I'm tired of wearing these same old clothes. I got to get some new clothes. And we are changing things all the time. Some of us like to change jobs fairly frequently. Have you ever had that where you're like, I'm tired of this job. I don't know why I'm here. I got to get a different job. And so I change the job. And then what happens when we change and get a different job? Eventually, we start to feel the same way about that job, right? Because we don't like staying in the same place too often. Some of us get a little too extreme with that. Some people do that with churches. You know, I've been at this church for a while. I need something new, fresh, and I want to go to a different church. Or we do that. Some people do that with marriages. You know, I'm tired of this, but I'm going to move. I'm amazed whenever I look up celebrities' bios and find out some of them having like 5 or 6 marriages in their lifetime. Like, it's just crazy. And we're changing things up. And why are we changing scenery so often? The reason is because we're not satisfied, right? We're not satisfied. We try to get satisfied by swapping things out. And when we swap things out, it satisfies for a little bit, right? For a little while, it's good, feels fresh and new, and then that eventually no longer satisfies, and we have to swap things out again. And all of that is relatable to something that Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4. Because that desire and hunger that we have for satisfaction is pointing to something that is beyond the things that we've tried to fill it with. John 4, Jesus says this in verses 13 and 14. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. So there's that idea. We have a desire. We go to try to meet it, and it satisfies, and then at some point, we are still thirsty. And then he continues, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. So there's something beyond these things that actually will truly satisfy. The water that I give, that I will give him, will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And some of us might think, but I've tried Jesus also. You know, I've spent time in prayer. And I spent time in his word. I've gotten involved in the church. And still, I end up landing on not totally satisfied. And I don't mean not satisfied with Jesus in a sense. I just mean that if we complain, none of us in here ever complains, right? Okay? Okay, good. So this is for some other person out there. If we complain or we chase after something else, we are expressing that we aren't fully satisfied. There's something that we want more. And it's interesting because when we come to Jesus, sometimes we think that that's going to take care of every single desire that we have now in this earthly life. And that's where some people have fallen away from the faith because they still experienced a sense of lacking. And so they thought, well, maybe this whole faith thing isn't it. But they're missing what it's supposed to look like. Because did you notice that Jesus said, the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is a water that builds up to something in time. And so when you came to know Christ, if you have, Jesus comes in and he places his Holy Spirit in you and something begins to stir. But we're not fully satisfied yet because it's welling up to eternal life. And do you know when truly eternal life gets manifested? After a certain event. You know what it is? Death. When we die is when we truly come to the place of eternal life. Satisfaction does not fully arrive until we get there. And the title of this message today is Final Resting Place. And what do we mean by that when we refer to that, our final resting place? Death. When we die. And there's this longing within us for something that we can't find a way to fully satisfy it. And it's met in Jesus in a certain way. That's why, as we saw last week in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because there's something closely associated with our desires and something about the person of Jesus Christ. And how do we find that? Well, Revelation 22, verses 1 to 3, describes this picture for us. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit in its seasons. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, in the river, and his servants will worship him. And so somewhere there's a destination where the river of God will be manifested. And that river of God, when we are at that river of God, there will no longer be anything accursed. There will no longer be any lack. There will no longer be a desire in which is not satisfied or fulfilled. And we can find permanent rest if we know how to flow with the river of God. Did you know that there is a river that is moving throughout our lives that's trying to guide us into a direction? And it's leading us somewhere, and it's speaking to us. And the thing that it's speaking to us is it starts with our desires. You want things, right? We desire for things, even if it's not material things, even if it's just peace or a sense of security or well-being. We have desires, and these desires tell us that there's something out there that satisfies that. When you get thirsty, you know there's liquid that will quench your thirst, right? When we get hungry, we will look for food, right? All desires tell us there's something that satisfies that desire. But some of these desires do not get satisfied until after death. Are you looking forward to that day? We only truly are if we know what's going on the other, because none of us really wants to die. Like, do we want to go through that? Nobody wants to go through a lot of pain and uncertainty, but we know what's at the other end of that. And Revelation says it this way, Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Do you know where true rest actually takes place? When we die. That's when we truly get blessed. And so when we find ourselves worshiping God, praying to him, reading his scripture, trying to live for him, being in Christian fellowship, and we still feel a sense of nagging that there's still something missing, this is what's missing, is that we have not been truly fulfilled and satisfied because we're not there at the place that our hearts are longing for. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 3:1, you who share in a heavenly calling. The longing of our hearts is pointing to a fulfillment that is only found truly in a lasting way after we die. And this call of these desires runs throughout human history. We see people pointing to this. We see it in history in general. We see it in biblical history. Hebrews 4, verses 8 to 10. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. You see this Sabbath rest? It's not about sleeping. It's not about taking a nap. It's not about taking it easy or recreation. The true sense of the Sabbath, did you know that, is this eternal destination that our lives points to. Hebrews 11, for Abel, through faith, though he died, he still speaks, that there was something that his life was pointing to that went beyond his earthly timeline. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10, Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Hebrews 11, 13 to 16 says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And so we have people that were pursuing fulfillment, and they died not receiving that fulfillment. And in fact, they are a testimony to us. Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, some people interpret this to mean that the dead are watching us, which I don't know about you. There's certain things that happen throughout my daily day that I don't really want to think about someone watching me, right? Okay, I don't want to think that there's my dead relatives are up there watching me while I'm showering and getting cleaned up, you know? All right? And I don't actually think this is what this is referring to, because it follows Hebrews 11, where he says, all of these people pursued fulfillment of the longing of their heart, and they died not getting it. And if we observe their life carefully, we will see that they are a testimony that there is something out there that exists beyond our earthly life, that when we find ourselves hungry for fulfillment and satisfaction, desiring things, don't you ever just think sometimes, I just wish things could be more peaceful. No, I just wish things could slow down a little bit. Or maybe I wish things could be more stimulating. We think that there's something out there that I long for, and we see human history throughout time pointing to that there's a desire that can't seem to be satisfied in this earthly life. Did you know that's a testimony to us of the reality of the afterlife? Because every other desire we have, we can fulfill, can't we? Thirsty, I can fulfill that. Hungry, I can fulfill that. See, even sexual desire, that can be fulfilled here earthly, right? Success in various ways, love. But there is still something within us that says there's something else to find satisfaction in, and we die with regrets, and we die not finding it because it doesn't exist in this life. The living water that we drink, that we are left never thirsting again, doesn't exist in this life, even if we live our lives, earthly lives, following Jesus. It doesn't exist in this life. Even in following Jesus, we will not be fully satisfied until we die. That's where it is. And so the longings and desires of our heart are pointing to that there is a destination. There is a space of fulfillment. And this destination, there is a way to that destination. Not everybody's going to get there. Did you know that? Even though they have a longing in their heart for this fulfillment, not everybody is going to experience that fulfillment. It says in Hebrews 3:11, they shall not enter my rest. Hebrews 3:12 says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Hebrews 3:14 and 15, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Hebrews 3:18 and 19, and to whom did he swear that they would enter into his rest, but those who were disobedient, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Hebrews 4:1, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Hebrews 4:3 and 5 both quote this line, they shall not enter my rest. Perhaps the most haunting statement is this. We might think that if we don't land in this destination, that we'll be okay because we don't really want to be in the other destination. Makes me think of the AC/DC song, Highway to Hell, where they sang as if that was a great path to be on. and a party that they're going to be had. But hear these sobering words to describe this from Esau's life in Hebrews 12, 16 to 17. Like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal, for you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. That there will be some who will not end up in this destination, and they will so desperately desire to be in this destination, because it's what we were designed to be in that destination. And that design won't cease to exist for those who do not end up in this destination. They will still long for the fulfillment of their heart, and they will seek after it. Isn't that a terrifying picture to imagine? And they will search for it with all their heart, and they will not be able to find satisfaction, because the way to this place does not involve everybody, because there is a narrow path to it. What did Jesus say? Wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many will go after it, but narrow is the path that leads to life, and few will find it. Well, what is this narrow way? Hebrews 3, 7 and 8 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. How many of us hear God speaking to us and nudging us into a direction, and we put it off? We delay. I'll get to that later. And the scripture says, don't do that. Today, if you hear his voice, follow him. Hebrews 3, 12, the warning about an evil and unbelieving heart. Or Hebrews 3, 16 and 17. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses and with whom he was provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. They were not able to go in because they did not believe in him. They didn't trust in him. They didn't obey him. They didn't follow him. You know, if the way to that path was slap a I love Jesus bumper sticker on my car, that's an easy way. If the way to go was just show up for a worship service, that's easy. In fact, I don't know why some people have a hard time with that. That's an easy thing. You just show up and sit in the service. But that's not the way. That is included within the way, but the way is being in a posture of absolute surrender to Jesus Christ, trusting him with all my life and doing anything and everything that he asked me to do. We can see why that's a narrow way. It's not easy to oblige him in every wish and whim that he has for me. That's not easy to do, but that's the call. Jesus said, come and follow me. He didn't say just assent to my existence. He said, come and follow me. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And there goes right back to our desires. If we are going to have true faith, we have to not only believe that God exists, but we have to believe that he's going to fulfill every single longing of my heart, that every single desire and every single craving I have will be ultimately fulfilled when I die. Do you believe that? Our chasing after other things might be an indication of how much we truly believe that he is going to satisfy me. Do you believe that today? That is the narrow way to truly trust in him, to also prioritize obedience to him over my earthly comfort. It's okay to have some earthly comforts, isn't it? Right? Some of you dressed a certain way so that you'd be comfortable going outside today, right? It's okay to have some earthly comforts unless, like we saw last week, they get in the way of me obeying God's will for my life. In fact, Hebrews 11, 24 to 26 says this, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now, the reason why it was a sin, because he was called to stand with the people of Israel, and if he had to do that, he was going to have to leave all the privileges and opportunities and comforts that he had and be mistreated with the people of Israel. But he chose to do that because God called him to obey him. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to a reward. He chose to suffer because he was not looking to be comforted here. He was looking to be comforted somewhere else. There's a destination. Hebrews 12:3, Jesus did this. Consider him, speaking of Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus went through the cross, not because he was looking forward to suffering, but he went through the cross because he knew what was on the other side of it. And so when we find ourselves staring at death and suffering or discomfort or something that I don't want to share my faith because someone might not like me, they might not respond well to that. I don't want to confront someone because they might get upset with me and that won't feel comfortable. I won't like that. And we say, so I'm not going to do the things that God wants me to do. That's not the faith. The faith is, even if I suffer, I would rather choose suffer than choose the fleeting pleasures of sin. Besides, most of the time when we chase after other people's approval, it's not there with us when we walk away from them, is it? The approval and the comfort and the words that they gave us, they don't follow us into our deepest, darkest struggles, do they? And so what good was it to have that? Why be faithful to them rather than faithful to the one who is there in our deepest, darkest moments? Hebrews 11:32-35, and what shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms. I want to think about that for a moment. Conquered kingdoms. Do you know when they conquered kingdoms? In their lifetime. So I know we said that the ultimate fulfillment comes after our lives, but sometimes it trickles down into this earthly life. They enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by the resurrection. Do you remember Jesus saying, on earth as it is in heaven? And so even though we only get partial fulfillment here, we do get some partial fulfillment here. If we choose to live for the Lord and trust in him, there are things that begin to happen in our earthly lives. It's not perfect. There's still longing. There's still things that we lack. But stuff starts to get manifested in this earthly life, and we're called to introduce that into other people's lives, because you know what's being manifested throughout our lives? You know it's to be true. The existence of heaven and hell is being demonstrated all the time all around us, is it not? The existence of hell is being demonstrated by the suffering that we see in our own lives and the lives of others. And we are called to demonstrate the existence of heaven as well, by to demonstrate the blessing of God in this life so they can see in us that there is something to be hopeful for. Look, there is some good in here. I see it in you. And so we are called to bring that into other people's lives. So many times we are just desperately looking for somebody else to give me hope instead of thinking about how much hope do the people around me need. We're always focused on our own needs rather than the needs of others. That's probably why many of us don't live a life of peace and fulfillment, is because we're always trying to grab rather than giving. What does the scripture say? It's better to give than to receive. Also, the call to enter the narrow way involves building the house. Did you know that there's a house that's being built? It's not a house necessarily of a physical nature, but there is a house. In fact, Jesus' example to us in Hebrews 3 involves doing that. In verses 1 to 6, it says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. So as we're pursuing, think about what Jesus was doing as an example of what we are to do. The apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him, who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Jesus followed Moses' example in what? Building a house. So we might say, well, I don't know if that's what it was talking about with Jesus. Well, for Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Who is the builder of the house here? Jesus is the builder of the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over all God's house as a son. And what is this house? We are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope in him. Jesus is our example of doing what? Building a house. And his building of a house is building people and building a destination. Do you remember this call in John 14 that I read earlier? Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus speaking here. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be, and you know the way to where I am going. Jesus is building a house that's twofold. He's building a house that is people. He's building up people of faith. And it's twofold because he's building up these people of faith to go to a destination. Do you see that? And did you see that he said this destination, there's a way to it, and you know the way. But are we choosing with our earthly lives the wide way that leads to destruction or the narrow way that leads to life? Paul talks about this in case, again, we were thinking, that's just Jesus doing the building. We're not involved in the building. Well, Philippians 1, verse 22 to 26 says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. You know what that means? If I'm still alive, that means that there's building for me to do. I'm supposed to be doing work. Did you know when you retire from the work of ministry? When you die, right? That's when you enter into rest. Not when you're 60, not when you're 80, not when you're too old to move around so well anymore, not when you don't think so straight anymore. No, if you are alive, that means this means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose, he continues. I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And that is far better, isn't it? We'd rather be with Christ. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account for the people around me. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for what? What is the building that he's doing here? For your progress and joy in the faith. The work that we're supposed to be doing is helping other people progress and grow in their faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Did you know that we have the responsibility and the ability to help other people grow in their faith and to help other people be inspired to worship God? When people encounter us, their response should be, I want to worship God. That should be the response, no matter how old we are, no matter how broken down we are. Do you ever feel broken down? Don't you wish you could just take your body to a mechanic and they give you a new part and you start moves well again, right? Okay, so, but it doesn't matter how hard it is and how much of an uphill climb is, we are called to be involved in the building of this house. You see why this way is narrow? Because it's easy to just soak it all in and take in the ministry that other people want to give us. It's easy to just let other people take care of our needs. It's another thing all entirely to decide, I'm living for everybody else. I'm living to serve and build up other people. And let me tell you something. It is not easy to build up people because people don't want to be built up. Did you know that? They don't want to hear from you challenge and correction and things like that. They don't want that. They just want you to tell them, you're good the way you are. Stay that way. I love you the way you are. And you know what? I hope nobody tells me they love me the way I am, okay? Because I have a lot of things that need to be changed in my life. Don't you? Aren't you that way, right? Nobody should tell me you need to stay exactly the way you are. Maybe parts of it, but not the whole picture, because we still need to keep growing in our faith. And Jesus is building this body, and some of the specific actions that go towards building it, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Do you hear what's happening there? We should work with each other to help each other keep going forward. And so you look around and you see someone that you usually see that's not here today. What do? You call them up and say, hey, I missed you. Where were you? And you encourage them to move forward. And you might say, that's the pastor's job. He has to call them. Sure, I can call them, but you know what they think when I call them? Pastor's just trying to get more people at the service. If you call them, they hear something completely different. Or when you realize someone's going through something and they're kind of wanting to give up on prayer or studying the word or whatever, or being involved in ministry, encourage them forward. This is the building of the house, is to encourage them forward. Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. We're supposed to be cheerleaders, you know, not cheerleaders in that, you know, rah-rah sense. Cheerleader in the sense of move forward. Come on, encourage people forward. Hebrews 12:15-16, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. Do you know that when a person begins to fall away, it doesn't start with them disappearing from church? It starts when they start having a different countenance about them when you see them. It starts when you start hearing different comments come out of their mouth that you usually hear coming out of their mouth. People start giving the warning signs early that they're starting to slip. But we don't want to meddle. We don't want to bother anybody. We don't want to get involved in anybody's lives. And we're missing what God is calling us to do. And so many people slip away where we are no longer able to reach them because we didn't see and respond when the warning signs were there. We are called to encourage people to work with each other. This is why I don't understand why people think they can serve Christ alone. Hey, we need each other, and we need to be there for each other to encourage people forward. And to Hebrews 4:12-13, for the word of God is living and active. I don't understand how anybody gets bored with reading the Bible. We don't understand it then if that's what's happening. Because the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eye of him to whom we must give an account. We are to follow the teachings of Scripture. So we don't just encourage people towards any direction. We encourage people towards the direction of the teachings of the Word of God. Because my opinions don't matter at all, right? And your opinions don't matter at all, right? I know some of us like to share them all the time on social media or to other people as if we're smart. But we don't refer to our own opinions. We refer to the Word of God. And then Hebrews 4:14-16, listen to this. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to be seeking Jesus. Did you know you need him? Did you know that you need Jesus? I think sometimes we forget it when we serve him for decades. We forget that I still need Jesus right now. In this moment, I need him. And if we choose to rely on him and to seek him and to know the word of God and live that out and seek to encourage other people forward, we will be involved in building the house. And we will be in the river of God and we will be moving towards the destination. You know that there is a longing in your heart for something more. There is a longing in your heart for something better. There's a way to it. Are you willing to choose that way? Because if we do choose that way, this destination, you see, only if we understand it in the context of our desires does it make sense. Don't you hate when you buy that new car and it feels awesome, right? You're excited, you got a new car. Even if it's used to you, it's nice and clean. It's the cleanest it's ever going to be, right, when you get it. Because it's never going to be that clean again. Okay, but it feels great for the time that it is that clean, and it's running great, and everything's going well. And after a few years, it's no longer the new car, it's this old junker, right? This car drives me crazy. The same with the house. We get a house, we get an apartment, we move in, we're so excited, we have a new place, and then after a while, it's not new anymore, is it? And we're upset with, this is broken down, that's broken, this old drafty house, and we start complaining. Same with our cars, same with our relationships, same with our jobs, all of that stuff. We're always looking for something new, right? We need new clothes. We need new furniture. You know, don't you hate the couches? They start out, you sit on them. They're new. They're nice and firm, and they support your back. And then after a while, you sink into them so much like quicksand that you don't know if you can get out of it anymore. This old house or couch, I need a new couch. And everything keeps getting old, right? There's a joke that we, our house is actually a garbage storage unit. It's where all things go to become garbage. You know, you put it in there, it's new for a while, then you move it somewhere else. Then you move it to the basement and then out to the garage, which is just another way of saying garbage, because you take it from there out to the garbage, right? Because everything just falls apart. Nothing stays new. This place that we're going to, Revelation 21:5, behold, I am making all things new. When we get there, nothing deteriorates. Nothing gets old. Everything feels fresh, vibrant, new, whole, all the time. So when you think about complaining about your old stuff here, think about what your heart's desire is pointing to, a destination in which that desire is going to be fulfilled. You know, sometimes we just want relief from pain, right? This body, we were talking about that before service, how we like to complain about all our aches and pains in our body, right? Can't you list them sometimes? Do you ever have someone else start listing off their pains and you think, I could one-up that one? You think you're hurting. I'd wait till you hear my story. Then you'll know what hurting is like. Have you ever had people talk like that to you? You know, you don't know the half of what you're going through is not even close to what I'm going through. And we want deliverance from it, right? We don't want to be hurting. We don't like to be in pain physically or emotionally. That's why we back away from some people, because they're not comfortable, right? We don't like to be uncomfortable, right? You're laughing because you know it's true, right? We run from people because we don't like emotional pain. We don't like the way people make us feel. We want to feel comfortable. We want to feel relief from our pain, from physical or emotional. This place that we're going to, Revelation 21 verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eye. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Here we might get relief for a moment. Do you ever think about that with chiropractors? You go to a chiropractor, they adjust you, you feel good for 30 minutes. Then you go right back to the way you were feeling before. You take that medicine, that allergy medicine that only lasts for a couple hours, and then before you know it, you're filled with all kinds of congestion again. This place, all pain, emotional, physical, is melting away. In fact, it says in Revelation 22:2, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's also, we might be able to afford the stuff that we have. You know, you might have been able to afford to pay for your mortgage payment this month, your rent payment, your house insurance, car insurance, and buy some groceries and things like that. And we're grateful for that. But do you ever just think, how much we think about, how am I going to keep paying for all this stuff? You know, I got to keep earning money to pay for this stuff, and it makes us worried sometimes, especially when the groceries, when you go to the store and you check out, and what you used to be able to get fill a cart with for $50 is now $300, right? I just inflated that a little bit. But in my head there, right? Or you go to the gas station, you fill up, and it takes a lot more money to do that. And we're concerned about the payment, right? Everything costs something. And even though we might be able to get it, it's still hanging over our heads that everything costs money. This place we're going to, Revelation 21, verse 6, to the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. We are going to a place where we'll have all of those provisions, never with the concern of paying for it hanging over our head. The desires of our heart to be able to get off free is going to be our reality if we take the narrow way. Some of us have had people who have died and gone before us, haven't we? If you think of the loved ones that have died, you miss them, don't you? We miss the ones that we wish that we could just, what we would give just for 1 hour to hang out with them again, right? We long to be with those people that have gone before us. And it doesn't even have to be death necessarily. Some of us have had people that have relocated. They moved out of state and they're far away and we used to be able to see them all the time and now we get to see them just a little bit. And we miss them, don't we? They're not dead, but we miss being around with them. Or maybe they picked up another job or a different kind of job and they're busier and we don't get to see them that much and we miss them. Why? Because we want to be with the people we love, right? We don't want to be separated from the people that we love. In this place that we're going to, Revelation 21:4, death shall be no more. The separation is over. It's ended. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them. Who? The ones who had died before us. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. There's two things there. We will always be with the Lord, and there's the we. We will always be with each other. We will never be separated from those we love anymore when we get to that place. And so when we think about, oh, I got to pay these bills, there's a longing in your heart for your home. When we think, oh, I miss being around this person, there's a longing in your heart that is pointing to your home. When you think, oh, I just need relief from this pain, it's a longing in your heart that's pointing towards your home. When you're thinking this old thing, it's a longing in your heart that's pointing to your home. And the last thing, don't you ever just wish that people could know everything about you and still accept you and still love you? That's why we have, what's that phrase, skeletons in your closet? That's why we keep things from people, because we're afraid of not being accepted by others. Revelation 21:7, I will be his God and he will be my Son. We will be his. And not only that, 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know fully, even as I have been fully known. When we get to heaven, not only will we know him, which is awesome, we will know him without limitation, but he will know us without limitation. We will be completely as we are. And him and everybody with us will always accept us. Never an awkward moment. Never a concern or never having to be reserved. We will have that acceptance we long for all eternity. That's what's ahead of you. And so all the longings of your heart can be fulfilled if we walk the narrow path. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Stand with me if you would. In order for me, and again, as we've been talking, and this concludes our series on rest, but in order for us to know rest, and what we mean by rest is not, like I said, sleeping, it's not taking a nap, it's not recreation, it's being completely settled within our hearts and spirits. The peace of mind of being okay, that's the rest that we're after. And in order to have that rest, even to a small measure in this earthly life, we have to surrender to God's design for us. There is no way to find it other than God's design for us. We find rest by seeking him, by doing his will. And we seek this rest not so that we can just take a break and take it easy for the rest of our lives. We seek this rest so that we could do the ministry, so that we could do the work that's to serve other people. But some of you, you don't feel satisfied with life. And you're wondering why you don't feel satisfied with the way your life is. It's not getting more stuff. It's giving. It's living for eternity rather than living for this earthly life. And some of us, we crumble under the pressure. You know, we get tired of waiting, of being relieved, don't we? And so we cling for fulfillment here. And there's a way that we know if we've gotten into that position in our flesh where we can't find satisfaction in God's things. We want to find satisfaction in something in this earthly life. We know it when we complain. The more complaining we're doing, the more we're showing that our heart's not actually in a place where we can find rest. We show it when we pull back from serving the body of Christ and doing the ministry and serving the church. Oh, we might say, well, but old. So one time we're happy to admit we're old is when we get out of doing stuff. I'm old. I'm 60. I'm 70 years old. I'm tired. I'm broken down. I don't want to do more things. But Paul says, as long as I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful labor for me. And you might say, well, I've been doing ministry for 20 years. I deserve a break and let someone else do it. Reminds me of the parable of the laborers in the field. They were complaining because other people only did an hour of work while they did a whole day's worth of work. And God said to them, don't I have the right to expect out of the things that I made what I expect out of them? And so if God says you have a lifetime to serve him, who are we going to yield to? My flesh and my desire to be fulfilled, or to the will of God? The only thing your age and your health changes is the amount of time you invest in the specific things that you do. He says, enter by the narrow way. The only way to find rest is to surrender to his will for your life. Why are you wrestling? Why are you giving yourself anxiety and struggling and pushing against his will? Why not surrender? There is a river of God, as Revelation described, bright as crystal. And this river brings life. It breathes refreshment into our soul, even in this life. The river of God doesn't follow your own comforts. River of God, if you ever wonder why the power, remember King Saul was rebellious towards the Lord. The hand of God was mightily upon them, and then the hand of God left him. Because the river of God doesn't move according to your whims and your schedule. The river of God moves according to his will. And if you want refreshed, if you want to be energized, if you want to be awakened, if you want to be satisfied and fulfilled, it's only in the will of God. And if you're wrestling with that this morning, then as the worship team leads us, I encourage you to take a moment to come down to this altar and spend some time in prayer and asking God, help me to get yielded into the current and flow of the river of God. Would you seek him this morning? So when we leave this place today and we notice the stain on our shirt or the tear in our clothes, remember where we're going. All things are made new. When we get into that car that has its problems, get into our home and sit on our uncomfortable couch, remember where we're headed. And we deal with the pains in our body and the pain that it is to encounter some of the people we might be encountering today. Remind ourselves of where we're headed. And that's why we're faithful to the Lord. We're not faithful to the Lord because he eliminates all our pain here. We're not faithful to the Lord because we don't ever have financial struggles here. We're faithful to the Lord because of what is ahead of us. That's why we're faithful. And sometimes in this life, we get a little bit panicked about things, don't we? Like, for example, won't you be glad when you don't have to watch any more of those campaign commercials coming up soon, right? Because the news, I think, wants us to be so stressed. And I have never talked about the election since I've been here. And no, I'm not going to preach who you should vote for. But I'm going to talk about in the next coming weeks how we deal with when the whole world's going crazy about an election, how we can be Christ-like when everybody else is falling apart. Do you know we can do that? Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because he is with us. Amen? Love you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. May God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday.